Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, July 14th, the second baby guilt edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's 9, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to 3 littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 5, and we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make the Best Advice Show podcast, and I live in Detroit with my family. My oldest, Noah, is 4, and my son, Ami, is 1.
We are all finally back together.
Yay!
Thank you for sticking with us during our summer vacations and schedule changes. We've got a good question today to get us started that might sound familiar if you've got multiple kids. Then on Slate Plus, we're going to talk about a recent article on nacho parenting. Here's a sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
And also, it's not like, okay, you're wiping your hands clean of all of the parenting. It's like, okay, you step out of the room when this drama comes up, but then you go and like make lunch for your stepkid or,
yes,
you know,
yes,
do their laundry. So it's not like you have no responsibilities in the house.
If you want a weekly bonus segment from us and your other Slate favorites, consider signing up for Slate Plus. You'll also get to listen ad-free and get unlimited access to the Slate website. To sign up now, go to slate.com/momanddadplus. Again, that's slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive into our triumphs and fails of the week.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Let's start with you, Zach. Do you have a parenting win or a parenting fail for us this week?
Yes. I do have both of those things. We have been out of school / daycare now for like 5 weeks. We went on a wonderful 2.5 week trip and then got home and the kids got COVID. I got COVID while overseas. You know, we're just in another one of these GD quarantine bubbles where you just lose all sense of space and time and sanity. I know everyone has been through it, so you know what I'm talking about. We are approaching the end of it right now. And just in the last like week or so, my daughter, Noah, she's going to be 5 next month, she has just been melting down in ways that are unfamiliar to us. She's just kind of feeling big feelings and being super annoying. I think, you know, my wife and I both think that it must just have to do with the lack of structure in her life over the last several weeks. And, you know, hopefully she'll be going back to camp. She will be going back to camp next week. So hopefully that will solve the issue. I hope we're not kind of like stepping into a new development period for her where she's emoting the way she has been big time all the time, like indefinitely. I think she's just going through a thing, but I think I heard Janet Lansbury talk about like how you can't try to come at your kids' meltdowns with logic in the moment. Like, you can't be like, well, this is ridiculous, Noah. Like, you haven't melted down like this in the past for this reason. Like, why are you doing it now? Like, you just can't come at it with logic. So I just kind of had that in the back of my mind, like, and I often try to do it. It's foolishly try to, like, you know, logic my way out of it with her, and it has worked 0 times out of 100. So I was just thinking, like, okay, you can't be logical. And then I just, the next thought in my head was stop making sense. Like, stop trying to make sense. Stop making sense. And then I'm like, oh my God, we need to watch the 1984 concert film from the Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense. I just need to put that on for Noah right now. And I put on Stop Making Sense. It's on YouTube. And somehow for the next 45 minutes, she and I were both transfixed. She loved it. I couldn't believe it. She did have a meltdown shortly thereafter. So I thought for a second, like, oh my God, Talking Heads will solve all my problems. They don't, but temporarily, just like giving her some live music to look at. And we were just talking about all the different elements of the band. It was a short reprieve, but much needed. And it was nice to expose her to such important music. So, that was a brief little triumph amid, the last couple of weeks of failures.
Well, there's a lot of good music on YouTube, and Naima wasn't much older than that when she got addicted to New Edition. So now's a good time for indoctrination.
Yes.
If you're so inclined.
Yeah, I think you're right.
My triumph is music related.
Okay.
Unbelievably. Yes. I never have music related stuff. Okay. We've been doing a lot of driving, and the kids, like, typically are pretty good in the car. I feel like in the van in particular, we have a lot of space, and that's good. And they each kind of have their stuff that they do. But on this recent trip to Chicago, we were in a very small car. So three across in the back, and the kids were making me completely insane. And it was like, Henry wanted to only listen to Taylor Swift, and somebody else wanted a podcast, and da 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 da. And so I try to always tell them, like, hey, my job is the driver. Like, this is the most dangerous thing we do every day, and I'm driving this car. So, like, your entertainment is tertiary, right? But instead, I turned around and I screamed, sea shanties for everyone, because I just decided I was done and I would make a decision. I do not listen to sea shanties. I don't know why it popped into my head. But then, of course, I had to follow through. So I turned on sea shanties, and the car was silent. Silent for probably 45 minutes. And I was like, okay, great. We got where we wanted to go.
What are sea shanties? Is this a group?
This is like a type of music in which they are reviving old songs from the seafaring days and singing, like, them.
Like, whoa, ho, ho, yeah, ho, yeah, it's a pirate life for me.
It's exactly like that. Yeah, okay. So we, a day later, get into the art museum, and we are walking around the art museum, and what does my beautiful five-year-old start screaming? Sing me the tea and rum song. Tea and rum, tea and rum, tea and rum. I'm like, oh my God, okay. I'm like, hey, we can do that when we get to the car. Then he bursts out with another favorite. What do you do with a drunken sailor? I have essentially just given my children all sorts of language that is not really appropriate for public spaces. You know, a child running around saying, like, bring us tea and rum. And now they're all interested in, a bunch of them are about, like, capturing and dissecting whales. There's one that is apparently very popular on TikTok right now. See, I didn't know until then. Because I just asked the phone to play sea shanties, thinking, like, I'm going to best them all. But now we are obsessed with sea shanties. The children, that is all they want to listen to. They turn it on the Alexa all the time. We have learned all about what the Wellerman is, which was the supply ship that brought sugar and rum to ships in Australia. We also have learned about dissecting whales. So as usual, something that went very well has led down a very bizarre path, of which my children are now educated on.
That's fun.
You have questions about the days of whaling and, you know, tethering your ship to a whale, and what does happen to a drunken sailor, my kids know.
Their face turns green, right?
Yeah.
Well, mine is a long time. It's funny. I very well may have recommended the thing connected to my fail, and I'm not fully claiming it as a fail, but this is also like a plea for some help. So when I'm driving, you know, and Naeem is in the car and we're going more than, you know, 10 or 15 minutes away, it can get kind of boring for me if she's on a device and, you know, I can't really do my own music or podcast because I don't want to interrupt her. She doesn't usually have her headphones, which I guess I could also solve this, like, with just making her have her headphones. But, like, let's just say we don't have the headphones, okay? And I do kind of like it that she doesn't always have her headphones in her device so I can keep up with what she's listening to or watching, you know what I mean? So that can get pretty boring after a while. And so one of the things that we do in the car together to pass the time is playing Family Feud. I enjoy the Family Feud game. It is fun. I do think I may have recommended it before. But, you know, I'm not saying we need to cut it out entirely. It's not always a family-friendly game. Sometimes, like, making Whoopi is an answer, and it's so awkward, you know. But, like, also, they're just things that, like, a 9-year-old kid wouldn't, you know, think about because she's never had a job or, you know, done the very adult-centric lifestyle things that Family Feud questions are often about. So anyway, my question to you all, audience and co-hosts, I'm looking for an activity for the car that I can participate in. There's got to be some sort of game, like, aside from us just listening to a good podcast or book together, which we do from time to time as well. But, like, if there's some sort of game or activity, you know, that we can play together while I'm driving, I would really like to know about it.
What if, I mean, the license plate game has been a big hit lately around here with my kids, which is just finding, you know, the license plates from all the states and having
so,
them. Did you do that?
I may have a muscle car in which my child doesn't get the best view.
Can't see. Okay. So not seeing.
You have a muscle car, Jamila? I'm learning new things.
Oh my gosh. You weren't here during the whole car thing. It was like the entire podcast was involved in Jamila buying a car.
It was a whole thing.
That was so cool.
And then, you know, we went through many, finding the perfect car.
Yes.
Was also important for her LA
situation.
Life.
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna need pictures, but I'm sorry, that was a digression. So yes, you can't play the license plate game.
What about some kind of like activity card? So like Brain Quest makes some cards, and I think Lonely Planet makes some ones in the car. We do these, and the kids in the back like read out the stuff, mm-hmm. but then I'm participating too in the trivia or coming up with the answers or you know, something like that. Because that's kind of like Family Feud, except that the stuff is more geared. At her age, but I'm surprised how little of it I actually know.
You ever try to play Interview where you ask her a question and then she can ask you a question?
Oh, that's a fun question.
You can say, like, there's no, I don't know if you want to say, like, no rules because I don't know if there's something that you don't want to talk about, but like, make it seem that, like, you know, if she asks you like a deep question, she's going to get an interesting response.
That sounds fun. Thank you.
Let us know if that works.
I will.
I feel like that could so easily either go great or be your next.
Yeah, totally.
She's like, let's play that again because I have some more questions.
Yeah. I got more questions.
Yeah, that could be a can of worms. You could call the game a can of worms.
Yeah. A can of worms. So I will report back on a can of worms. And thank you in advance, listeners, for any suggestions you may have. And we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll get into today's listener question.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back once again, and let's get into the listener question of the day. It's being read, as always, by the lovely Shasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, my son just turned 2 and got a new baby brother. We expected some transition, jealousy, maybe puzzlement from Julian, but not the parental guilt on my or my husband's end. I love this new baby, of course, but I'm feeling some grief about not being a family of 3 anymore, and most especially that my son, who was the total center of attention, is now clearly struggling with the whole thing. Any tips or advice for us in navigating these feelings and changes? Second, baby guilt.
Let's see, you guys are repeat offenders. Who wants to go first?
Zach, you've gone through it more recently.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, second baby guilt, this guilt is very normal, as I often say. And yeah, I mean, the transition from 1 kid to 2 is so freaking massive. So it makes sense that this is bringing up a lot of these feelings. And what I would say is just have these conversations and be open about your guilt. It's totally normal, and suppressing it does nothing but hurt. And I find, I mean, this is true with like any kind of like guilty territory that we parents feel. I find when I hear people talk about it, it makes me feel so much better and less alone because, oh yeah, I'm not a monster for having those same thoughts. So talk to your older kid about this transition. Talk to them about how much you still love them, and that, you know, it's not so easy to be like a big sibling. They didn't ask for it. But also just know, like all these periods of in our family life, like it's temporary. Everyone's going to get used to it in a way that they're not now, because it is just so new.
I agree that like it's so normal. And in fact, when I read this question, I went back to like being in tears as I was going into labor. And what I was upset about was this idea that like everything is changing. Mm-hmm. But looking back, I also think this is a time in which you get to help your child and perhaps help yourself navigate one of these life changes and model for them like how we go through these, because sometimes they're things like babies that we know are coming, right? Sometimes they are things that we don't know. And I think some of that is that expectation management. So giving yourself grace that like, it's okay that you feel guilty, but you can also, I think, start to try to reframe that when you feel that guilt, saying, you know, this is kind of a new phase. And then if I spend all this time looking back at how things were, I'm going to feel guilty. And I'm projecting on a situation that I didn't know, you know, that I don't know. You don't know that things would be better or easier, or that your child, you know, would like it more in the present moment if you didn't have this other child. But what you do know is that now they have a sibling, and you have this opportunity to be a family of 4. And kind of what joys, challenges, things did that bring moving forward? I think it's a good time to remind yourself, too, that the time with your kids is like way more about quality than it is about quantity. And so if you can make sure that you are still giving your first child this quality, but you're also getting to teach him these skills of like how to be a big sibling and how to now be, you know, not the youngest member of a family. Like, I think all of these are exciting things to watch them learn and grow. And acknowledging the guilt, I think, is important, whether that's with your spouse or partner, whoever, your friends, like saying, I feel really guilty about this, even though I know that I don't have to feel guilty. Like, I do feel guilty. Because those are real feelings that we have to deal with, and spending a lot of time saying like, I feel guilty, and now I feel bad that I feel guilty because I have this new baby, you know, there's like, this is a big spiral. Just give yourself a chance to adjust to this and set up some good routines. I think there's we get asked a lot about adding children into the family. And I think if you can help this older sibling get some new roles, make sure they're still having quality time with you, whether that's that you put the baby down and then do story, if you still do bath time with the big kid, whatever that is, making sure they're still getting that quality time. And then also making sure that they're getting some jobs and quality time with, you know, your partner and with the baby and with all these other people that are going to be around you. This is also a great time to ask for help. I feel like when you have a baby, there's a lot of people that want to help. And this is a great time to let your kid have some time with other adults in your life that either have older children or, you know, don't have children and have the energy to go do some fun stuff that you couldn't do with a baby. Like, there's so much ample opportunity to let your now 2-year-old go do some things like as a big kid, or have them watch the baby and you go take them to do some things. You know, the first time you go play putt-putt or whatever it looks like for you, that's kind of fun with you and the big sibling.
I remember a listener wrote in with a suggestion a while ago when something similar came up, but like in a moment where both of your kids need you at the same time, like very explicitly opt for your older kid first and show them that they can, that it's not always about the baby. And just like in a micro moment like that, I think it's a good practice just to demonstrate that the older one is still very much a priority.
I would just add, you know, I don't have experience with multiple children, but in my observation, you know, in my experience of being a sibling and, you know, watching my daughter have a sibling, I think it's really important that children get one-on-one time with their parents, no matter what the layout of a family. And the larger a family can, you know, gets, the harder that can be logistically. But I think it's really important. And so I think it's important for your little one during this transitional time that he feels very grounded in his relationship to each of his parents. And one way to do that is to make sure that you're getting some one-on-one time.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, some of the guilt too is like fear. If you think back of like the way your life changed when you didn't have kids, having your kids, like this is kind of that same thing. Like you did that. And you're going to do this too. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I at least didn't spend a lot of time after having the first kid feeling guilty that I wasn't still like out doing these things. Like I miss those things, but I didn't feel like, oh, I'm so guilty that I'm not out with my girlfriends because I'm home here, you know, those sort of things. I think if you can give yourself that same kind of grace of like, my life has changed a little bit and that's going to change. I don't know. Jamila, I imagine too that you actually had kind of a different perspective even because you watched your daughter get a sibling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it definitely over the years has required adjustment. You know, I think when she was, they're only maybe 18 months apart, so she was young when it happened. But, you know, as she's gotten older, there's feelings of resentment at times or, you know, how she fits into the family or, you know, who's the favorite kid, which I think is, you know, normal. And I would imagine that any child that's born first has to deal with the idea of now sharing someone or someone's mm-hmm. that, you know, they didn't have to share before. All right, letter writer, we hope that was helpful. And we are also always very happy for updates. So if you'd like to give us one, then please send it along. Anyone else, if this rings true for you, if you have some advice of your own to share with second baby guilt, pass it along. You can send us an email at momanddad@slate.com, or you can send us a voice memo, which we might even play on the show. That's also where you can send us any other questions you have, as well as advice requests of your own. That is it for our show. We'll be back in your feeds bright and early on Monday, so be sure to tune in. And while you're at it, please subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review us on Apple or Spotify. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Christy Taiwo Makinjola. For Zach Rosen and Elizabeth Newcamp, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thanks for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.